Here comes a 2-1. Left side. Moustakas. Royals win the pennant. Back-to-back American League pennants for the Kansas City Royals, and off they go to the Fall Classic.
Season last year for Kansas City ended with the potential tying run at third base. Tonight, they just ended the season of Toronto with the potential tying run at third base, beginning with nobody out.
Obviously, we don't feel great about the situation now, but give it some time, give it a little bit of time to breathe a little bit. Coming into spring training next year, I feel like we're going to have some momentum, and I feel like it can only make you better in the end.
Ground ball, Donaldson has it, takes his time, and the Blue Jays will host a wild card game on Tuesday. What a ball game. They win it 2-1. Devin Travis and Troy Tulowitzki with the RBIs. And they know exactly what they've accomplished now. They will be the home team Tuesday when they play the Orioles in the American League wild card game.
What a ball game. What a series by the Blue Jays.
And now they have earned the right to play in the wild card game. Edwin Encarnacion with his career year.
And welcome to Sportsfeld Storytime. Oh, baby.
Here we are.
We are going all the way back to, hilariously enough, the last episode of the old...
That's right.
The last thing we talked about on old Sportsfeld.
Before we just decide to not record anymore.
The 2016 American League wildcard game. Your 2016 Toronto Blue Jays went 89-73. It was the first full year of Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro. They were first in the American League East as of September 6th. They went 11-16, 40% baseball in September. They finished four games back of Boston. It all got saved. They went 2-3 in Seattle, the Jose Bautista bat flip. They went 3-4 versus Yankees in the week of September 19th to 25th to save their spot. They finished with the exact same record as the Baltimore Orioles. They nearly lost home field advantage for this game, but saved it on the very last day of the season, winning two straight in Fenway to close out the 2016 season. Some interesting stats the way this team was built, because if you remember 2015, the team was an offensive juggernaut, and it was, oh man, if they had to get David Price because they had absolutely no pitching. Well, the 2016 team had a 3.78 team ERA, best in the American League. They scored 759 runs. That is fifth in the American League. Key player Sanchez and went 15-2. He led the American League with 3.00 ERA. He had the best home runs per nine in the American League. Jay Happ won 20 games. He went 20-4.
That's such a, like, not forgotten thing, because obviously Jay Happ's still a completely serviceable major league pitcher, but like, won 20 games.
The 3.18 ERA is even crazier.
Yeah.
Estrada went 9-9. He had a 3.48. Marcus Stroman, your opening day starter and your game six starter, we will get into, went 9-10 with a 4.37. If you remember, he had trouble with exit velocity that year. And Robert Allen Dickey, your number five, went 10-15, a 4.46. Some of your notable players, Edwin Encarnacion, hit 42 home runs and led the American League in RBI with 227.
It's kind of funny, because he wasn't in the playoff rotation, I forgot Dickey stayed for that second year.
Yes, indeed. Josh Donaldson had a 404 OBP, second in the league, scored 122 runs, finished, I believe, fourth in MVP voting. Troy Tulowitzki played 131 games and had a 102 OPS plus. Michael Saunders made the All-Star game.
First half, just on fire.
He had 22 home runs. Jose Bautista only played 116 games. He had 22 home runs. We remember some guys quickly. Ezekiel Carrera is a remember some guy. Darwin Barney played 100 plus games. Jimmy Paredes,
wow.
Gavin Floyd.
Okay.
How about Bo Schultz?
Oh, yeah. I definitely talked myself into Bo Schultz at some point.
How about the ambidextrous Pat Venditti?
I was talking with him the other day. Couldn't remember his fucking name.
Pat Venditti.
Pat Venditti.
Scott Diamond.
Canadian.
Yes, indeed. Now, we mentioned a couple things off the top. First full year of Ross and Mark, and they were coming off their first American League division title in 2015, a team we all remember very well. This team was sneaky annoying, this 2016 team.
Yeah, I actually thought, until you just said that the sort of slip in the standings was only started in September.
Yeah.
In my brain, it started in like July.
They were playing 60-ish.
I feel like I remember them being pretty average for post-All-Star break.
Here's what happened in between the end of 2015 and the beginning of 2016. Basically, the first 10 months of the Shapiro-Atkins era. They lose Burley, Hawkins, Lowe, Kawasaki, Navarro, Pennington, and Price to free agency. The first trade they make, which is actually a sneaky, really bad trade. They trade Liam Hendricks for Jesse Chavez.
That was a bad trade at the time. Liam Hendricks was pretty decent.
Liam Hendricks was one of the best closers in baseball last year.
Yeah.
They signed J.A. Happ on November 27th, a pretty good deal. They Rule 5 draft Joe Biagini, who, hate him as we might, had a very good year as a Blue Jay this year.
Still never forgive them for bringing him into our lives.
On January 8th, they traded Ben Revere for Drew Storen.
Also, not even sneaky bad. Just, I mean, not that Ben Revere is anything exciting, but Drew Storen was fucking bad.
We get into the season. May 31st, they trade Sean Ratcliffe, a nobody, for Jason Grilly.
A great trade. I love the Grilly.
We get to the draft. They draft TJ Zoik.
Yeah,
they draft
my boy.
Bo Bichette. They draft Kevin Biggio. That's a hell of
a
first
really
draft.
That's a really good draft.
On the 27th of June, they trade Drew Storen. He didn't last long.
No, he was
for
bad.
Joaquin Benoit. Do you remember how Joaquin Benoit got hurt?
No.
Joaquin Benoit got hurt rushing into a fight.
Now we're going to have some action.
Donaldson and Sabathia trying to get at each other. This is the last time these two teams play this season.
The two catchers are trying to keep Sanchez back away from Russell Martin, who's trying to work his way around the pack.
And Benoit looks like he got stepped on. And that's the one thing everybody fears in something like this. I mean, you don't go out there thinking about injuries. You go out there to stand with your teammates. Yeah. But
Benoit tonight doesn't look like he's going to go. He's supposed to be the closer tonight with a couple of relievers down.
Right.
And never pitched
and
again.
And I feel like I remember us having a discussion on this show of like when the fall was sort of happening, like, you know, they could kind of use right now.
A left-handed reliever. Benoit. Absolutely right.
It's right. He was running out from the bullpen.
Not running hard either.
No.
Because like the reliever is not that necessary in the fight. Joaquin Benoit tore his leg up doing that. On the 26th, they traded Hansel Rodriguez, so hot right now, for Melvin Upton Jr. I was in on that deal.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you.
I remember telling you like, oh, it's Ben Revere again, but better.
It's an incremental upgrade.
Yeah.
Not really. August 1st. Here it is. Now we're at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Right. And here's where the problems with Shapiro and Atkins.
The whole season just sort of
begin. Because you're looking at this team and you're saying they need something. And tell you what they don't need. They don't need to trade Jesse Chavez for Mike Bolsinger.
That was the deal, huh?
Tell you what they don't need to do. They don't need to trade somebody named Lupe Chavez for Scott Feldman.
Yep. These are names.
Remember, Benoit. So they do need a lefty. They trade Drew Hutchinson for Francisco Liriano.
That was ended up actually being a really good deal.
And Harold Ramirez. Reese remains on the team. And Liriano was traded for Teoscar Hernandez.
And we will also talk about Liriano soon.
And the final deal right before the, I guess it is the non-waiver trade deadline. They traded Colton Turner, who you've not heard of, to bring back Diana Navarro.
That's right. Officer Navarro came back.
For one last run.
I was also in on that deal because they needed another catcher that year.
Josh Tolley was catching.
Yeah.
And that's boy, right, was he not good at it.
T-hole was not finishing enough.
So those are your 2016 Blue Jays. We look at sort of what they looked like. Russell Martin behind the plate for 137 games. Justin Smoke took over for as first, I think he was the full-time first baseman at this point.
I believe so. Yeah, because Chris Colabello was
played 10
suspended.
Games. Chris Colabello was busy searching for the real person in the poison tank.
That's right.
Devin Travis played 101 games.
Which in itself is a miracle.
Yes. I mean, he missed 60 games. It's almost half a year. But yes.
For Devin Travis, that's a win.
He had a 108 OPS plus. You know, he was 25 years old. I was super in. 28
so
doubles,
Devin Travis.
11
oh
home
God.
Runs. Tulo, as I mentioned, 24 home runs, 21 doubles. Put up a 254, 318, 443 line. Josh Donaldson was fucking ridiculous once more. 37 home runs, 99 batted in. A 404 OBP, as I mentioned, had a 953 OPS, came up short in MVP voting, but he was very good. Michael Saunders played left. Kevin Pillar, 146 games in center field. A 303 on base percentage. He came back down to earth pretty hard after 2015.
At least he was always out of position to make highlight catches, though.
Jose Bautista, as I mentioned, played 116 games, so he missed about 50 games.
His arm?
I believe this was, yes, I believe this was throwing his arm out against the Orioles.
It was that was the year before.
Pardon me.
I think this was like lingering from that, was it? Because he was never really the same after that.
Yes. And he was sort of hit his, like, I'm going to have like a 230 batting average, but still get on base 36% of the time, sort of power hitter. Still made 22 home runs. And Edwin Encarnacion, as I mentioned, one of his better years, he was 263, 357, 529, 42 bombs, 127 batted in. Carrera played quite a bit. Carrera played 110 games.
I feel like Jose like really turned 35 before our eyes that year.
Yes, he did.
It was just like, I'm 35 now.
Yes. Darwin Barney played 104 games.
Ugh, that's not what you want.
Ryan Goins played 76 games. Elvin Upton Jr. got into 57 games and then disappeared off the face of the earth after this. Junior Lake, isn't it?
Junior Lake, that's right.
Guys. Pitching staff, as you mentioned, Aaron Sanchez was excellent.
Lights out.
Three guys sub 4 ERA. Remember Marcus Stroman? He was opening day starter and he started game 6, the game we are talking about in just a moment. 4.37, 200 innings though. He was sort of frustrated a lot this year.
He was okay.
He was.
That's okay. What I would say. He was exactly okay.
The bullpen, Brett Cecil made his final year with the Blue Jays. He got into 54 games, a 3.39. 29 years old, he went 1-7. Pitchers, I mean, relievers don't get wins. Jesse Chavez, well, I was in there for a little bit before getting traded and flipped. As I mentioned, Biagini, 3.06 ERA. Whew. He was the setup guy. He was their lifetime setup guy. And Roberto Osuna, who I think died after this, 21 years old. 21 years old, already in his second year. This was when
that was a huge debate.
I was firmly in he's pitching too much. He got into 72 games. He basically played half the time.
Because he started getting sort of shaky this year.
Yes.
Like around midseason. It was like, well, maybe he is pitching too much.
I believe he also played in the World Baseball Classic.
He did.
That winter.
It's a shame that we never heard from him again.
Too bad that this was the last thing he ever did. And then he fell off I think he fell off a horse. Fuck him.
Fuck him forever.
Yeah. That was your 2016 Blue Jays, Jay. Your memories of the 2016 Blue Jays.
2016 was not the best year of my life, but I remember being weirdly emotionally attached to this team in a negative way, especially in the back half of the year. It got really annoying. And I remember like the 2015 Blue Jays, we were obviously all very emotionally attached to, but it was so fun.
Yes.
That it was just like positivity and joy. Not unlike what we talked about with this year's Raptors team. We're just like, this is just fun. They're a joy to watch every day. They're never out of it. The so what fuck you attitude was in full swing and it was the best. 2016 was just like, I remember there was a series in, I'm going to say August, late August. I want to say they played Boston at home and I went to a game with, I believe it was Blake and Jonah, and they just got shelled. It was that series. I was like, if they lose this series, they're not winning the division and maybe not making the playoffs. And they did not win the series. They just got absolutely pumped. I remember that being the angriest I've ever been at a sporting event in my life.
Yeah.
Just like there was no reason for them to not have it together. And there was like 2 months there where they just didn't.
And boy, were they talking a lot of shit. This was the Kings of Fun.
That's right.
You're probably talking about the September 9th, 10th, and 11th series.
That checks out, yeah.
Where they lose 13-3.
That was the game.
And then they win 3-2, and then they lose 11-8.
13-3, I believe, was a Friday night.
And if you remember correctly, as I said off the top of the show, they were in first place as of September 6th.
Yeah.
So they had fallen out of first 2 games previous, and then they lost 13-3.
And they got like pumped.
At the time, they were one game. They went into that game 1 game back of the division.
Yeah. Because they were starting to fall apart at that point. The wheels hadn't totally come off.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, oh, they got to get it together now.
Boy, it is funny because they also had just lost 3 straight to the Yankees.
Yes.
They lost 5-3, 7-6, 2-0, and then they lost 13-3. So it was a 4-game losing streak you saw them cap off.
I remember just being furious at that game.
They lost 6-7 when you combine the 2-3 against the Rays.
So what you want.
Bad, bad times. But yeah, again, they brought it back. They won 3-4 against the Yankees, and they won 2-3 against Seattle. In Seattle, the 10-2 game really was the bean balls, and that was
Was the night before when Jose bat flipped and walked backwards?
I believe it was.
Yeah.
Bautista, high and deep to left. Stay fair, ball. Stay fair. It is gone. You can always go back to the big guys to come up with big hits in tough situations.
And this place is going crazy right now, thanks to that guy.
Home run number 19. None bigger than that one.
I think I watched that game at your house. I think we were recording Sports 1.0.
Wouldn't be off. Again, the season ended. They wrapped up. They lost 2-3 to Baltimore, which was like crucial. And then they needed to win in Boston, in Fenway, and they did it. They won 2-1 the last game of the season, Sunday, October 2nd.
That game 162 mm-hmm. that year, a sneaky, fun, like really great Blue Jays game.
2-1.
Got a win in Fenway, and the winning run scored in the eighth inning.
Look at your fucking memory here.
By Troy Tulowitzki.
Tulowitzki hits it over Pedroia into center field. Here comes Encarnacion. Martin is headed for third, and Troy Tulowitzki has given the Blue Jays the lead here in the eighth.
Man, Troy Tulowitzki singles to center. Encarnacion scores.
I remember being, I think I was watching that at my parents' house.
Hanley Ramirez hit a home run off Aaron Sanchez in that game.
He did. Hanley Ramirez, man. I was in between houses that summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at my parents' place, and I remember watching the game in the basement by myself because no one was home. And when they won that game, it was like, there were basically two wild card games that year.
Mm-hmm.
It gets lost in the annals of that year, which I think is fair. And there's very good reason that it did because it's game 161. Who really cares, especially because they didn't win the World Series. But that was sort of an underrated thing that we kind of forget, I think, that the final season, there was like, it wasn't just the one game against Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Like they easily could have gotten swept against Boston and just not been there.
Totally.
And then they actually put together.
Or even if they lose one game and they are playing the wild card game in Baltimore.
Yeah, that exactly.
We'll get into it once the game actually starts. Baltimore probably manages that game completely differently.
I would have to assume so. And also, like, say what you will about some not great things of the Skydome crowd of that game, which we will.
Mm-hmm.
But the crowd for that game was excellent.
I wish I could recapture the 2015-2016 crowds. They were rowdy.
They were rowdy.
But boy, those people went fucking nuts for baseball.
Yeah. What was the phrase? The Toronto Loud?
Something like that. Yeah. Pretty creative.
That was when you have a tin roof that you fucking close.
Not
for this game.
We get into Tuesday, October 4th, 2016, at 8:08 p.m. local start time, 49,934 fans at the Rogers Center for a 3-hour and 25-minute baseball game.
It felt longer.
Jake, where were you?
I started the evening at an acting class, which I told my teacher, I have to leave early. I have a thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember making sure that my scene in class was up first so I could leave early, and I did, and I sprinted. I believe I got a class around 7:20, and I sprinted from King and Bathurst-ish to a streetcar to take me to Blue Jays Way and King. Met friend of the show, Discord member Andrew Wilson.
Hey, shout out Wilson.
At the streetcar stop, who'd come in from Ottawa for the game. He had bought two sandwiches from Bon Me Boys to take into the game.
Brilliant.
Which we did. They were delicious. And we got to our seats. We were sitting in the 500s. I'm going to say we were like row 11 or so. Like just sort of between home and first base.
Okay. Nice seats.
Yeah, they're great seats, actually.
That's similar to where I sat for all of 2015 when I had the season pass.
That's right. Yeah, very similar.
524.
I do remember one of my favorite things about that game was actually before the game started. It was sitting in the building with Wilson, eating our sandwiches, just like watching everyone file in. And I have never felt a tension in a sports arena like that.
Wildcard game is incredible.
Before the game even started, you could just feel everyone holding their breath. The only other game I felt something similar to was the Yankees series in 2015 when they sort of passed them for the division at
yep.
home.
Oh, that was such a good series.
The game, the Russell home run game.
Yep.
That game until Russell hit the home run was just like the entire building was holding their breath. Everyone was just like, ugh!
You want to talk about sneaky underrated moments. The Russell home run against the Yankees yep. on the day Yogi Berra died.
Yes.
Is up there for me.
But were you at that game?
I was.
So you remember
how I was at every game on this
catch. Yeah, sure. You remember how that building felt though.
Like, of course.
It was one nothing until he hit the home run. And yes. everything was just like so tense until he hit the home run. Before the Wild Card game started, it was that, but there was no Russell home run for release. It was just like, we have to watch this fucking game.
I was in the press box.
That's right.
I was sitting beside Pat Tabler.
Huh.
The entire game is a national broadcast. It's no longer a Sportsnet game.
Right.
So the broadcasters are just people like you and I. And I will say this, Pat Tabler, not my cup of tea as a broadcaster.
Yeah, I know that.
Surprisingly hilarious to watch a baseball game with when he's not on camera.
Really?
Swears an awful lot.
I could see that.
He didn't love a lot of Gibby's moves in this game, which I disagree. Gibby was unbelievable in this game. Blue Jays pitching staff gave about four hits in this entire game.
Quick question for you. Please. What is it like to watch a game like this? We have friends
of course.
Who work in press boxes every day. And I'm always wondering, like, for big games. What's it like to be a fan, but also be in the press box? There's decorum rules. Like, it's one thing to be like that, you know, in game five of a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
A wild card game, as you said a minute ago, is a different breed. What's it like to be, and to be you, to be the Blue Jays guy that I know you are.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like to have to follow those decorum rules in a press box for a game like this? Because I was screaming at every fucking pitch at this game.
There's a couple times, honestly, Tabby helped a lot because Tabby's not an impartial broadcaster. He's right. A guy who's like happy to swear. I went into the hallway a couple times. I had a couple times where I was like, after the inning, I needed to just pace.
Right.
You were there. We were there for the Edmund game. I had to just like sort of pace and be like, holy shit.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of pace. I get that.
Because it was so tight for so long and you're just waiting for Britton. So all you were doing was waiting for Zach Britton. It was tense, but it was so fun. It was just so much fun. It really was like just an absolute blast. And to be in that situation was like, it was a blessing. I had a great time.
Yeah, I feel like there's an argument to be made that baseball's expanding of the playoffs to the second wild card is not necessarily the best thing they could have done.
Mm.
But man, being in a wild card game, there's really nothing like it.
It's incredible. So the next episode, we are going to talk about the first, I believe, 7 innings of this game.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, here's how it lines up. The Blue Jays go with Travis, Donaldson, Encarnacion at first, Batista, Martin, Tulowitzki, Saunders DHing, Pilar in center field, and Ezekiel Carrera in left. Marcus Stroman on the hill. The Orioles go Adam Jones, Hyunsoo Kim in left. Remember that name. Manny Machado at third base. Mark Trumbo, DH. Matt Wieters behind the plate. Chris Davis when he was still pretty good at first. Jonathan Scope at second base. Michael Bourne, who had played for the Blue Jays for a little
Michael
bit.
Michael Bourne, that's right.
In right field.
Remember that name too, actually.
J.J. Hardley at short. And Chris Tillman on the hill. That is the scene on October 4th, 2016.
Now you're here and you must be more than thrilled that you made that decision.
I am, obviously. I made the right decision. You know, we're going back. We have a very important game on Tuesday. But, I had a very good feeling about this team. I knew most of this core was going to be back. And that was the main reason why I wanted to come back, because I knew we were going to be good enough. But I did make the right decision. I came back here. Now we're going, you know, we got this wild card game.
They're in the postseason.
They're in the postseason playing the wild card game tomorrow evening against Baltimore in Toronto.
What more could you ask for except for so much more?